thank you for your Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, Lord. You said that we would need that no man should teach us when the Holy Spirit would come upon us, Lord, but that He would teach us and lead us into all truth. And so, Father, we thank you for that this evening. We thank you, Lord, for the ministry of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that resonates, Lord, that which you have already put in us, Lord, truth and your life. And so, Father, this evening, even as we would open up your word, even as, Lord, we would turn to the scriptures, we ask, Father, that you would direct and lead this time. Father, that you are, Lord, the bread of life that came down from heaven. And Lord, so we ask this day for our daily bread. We ask, Lord God, for that which you have for us this day, Lord, that you would feed us from your hand, Lord God, and that you would strengthen and encourage your church and your people. Lord, I yield myself to your spirit right now. I pray, Father, that you would speak through this vessel, Lord God. I decrease, Lord, that you may increase and have your way. And Lord, we just go forward into this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's a joy for me to be able to spend some time with you this evening and to open up the scriptures with you. Okay, who has Bibles? Does everyone have, everyone brought a Bible? It's very important that you have your scriptures and you have your word. Because if you don't, there's a lot of people that speak their opinion. But it's very, very good to have the scriptures and to keep the people that are speaking to you honest. Because sometimes someone will say, the other day someone said to me, they said, doesn't it say in the Bible, God helps those who help themselves? And actually, I don't think so. I have never seen that in this. So God helps those that rely and trust in Him. But people make up things from the Word all the time. So I here in this place and in this ministry, even with Chandala, I've seen many times, a commitment to rightly dividing the Word of God. Scriptures encourage us to be workmen that rightly divide the Word of God. So that's something we should always be mindful of. So have your scriptures, have your Bibles when people preach to you on Sundays, Tuesdays, whatever it may be, whenever you come together. And if somebody says something, make sure it resonates in the Word, because we live in a time of strong delusion and a lot of things that are being said that are not necessarily scriptural. So tonight, let's go to John chapter 17. And this may be a little bit of a commercial break from the seven church ages, but we'll stay in the flow with what the Spirit of God is doing here too. John chapter 17, this is what could actually be classified as the Lord's Prayer. I know that we always refer to Matthew 6 as the Lord's Prayer, but that was actually where he was teaching the disciples how to pray. Here is where Jesus himself is praying. And he's praying for the church, and he's praying for the disciples. So this is the Lord's Prayer in its purest form. All right, these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, verse 1, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I have come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have the joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word. For they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, and the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Amen. Okay. So now, this is the Lord's Prayer. The Lord praying for His disciples, the Lord praying for His early church, the Lord praying for those that would come after. His prayer for us, you know, sometimes we struggle. We struggle with the environment and what we were born into. We were born into this world, and from the moment that we're here, we wonder, okay, what is all of this about? We have so much around us, so much adversity, trial and tribulations that go on around us. People struggle to find out, okay, what is their purpose and their time and their existence here? When people start talking about eternity and rapture and all of these different things, I go back to the scriptures. Jesus, in this verse, in verse 3, and He said, and this is life eternal. So here's the answer to the question, what is eternal life? This is life eternal, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. So the answer to the question of what is eternal life, life equals what? If you were to do your math problems and you're doing your equations, if you were to say, what does eternal life equal? I'll take the volunteer from the audience. Anyone? I like interactive. I know sometimes people get very, very cautious with them when people speak to them because we're so used to lectures and all of this. And so I want to encourage you to interact. What is eternal life? To know God. That's the scriptures tell us very plainly. Now this is eternal life, that they may know God. So when we start opening up the scriptures, when we start looking at the Word of God is an amazing compilation of history and stories and God revealing Himself to people and a love affair between God and His creation and Him working to create the way so that we could know Him through Jesus Christ. So that we could know Him. So to know God. Now, in verse 3, to know God and to know Jesus Christ whom He has sent. So God is one. Jesus is one. One in the Spirit. One in the Holy Spirit, the Father, Jesus is one and the same. So to know God is eternal life. So now, if that is eternal life, then the way and the access is made to know the Father through Christ Jesus. So that word to know, and I did a little bit of a word study, with the Greek word is genesco, which means to know absolutely. So to know in entirety. So, and there's a lot of, and that's an encompassing word, there's a lot of derivatives, but ultimately it means to know absolutely. So this is life eternal, that you would absolutely know the God that you love and that you serve and that knows you and loves you first. So when we start looking around us and we start, even with the series that's being discussed with the church ages and all of these things, we see how through history, many, many areas have come along that have tried to substitute for a relationship and a knowledge and a direct connection with the Father. And they've said, okay, you don't need to know God for yourself, you need to know the religion, or you need to know your ritual, or you need to know what it is to be a good Methodist, or a good Catholic, or a good AOG. But ultimately, do you know Him? Okay, I am going to show you something here with Jesus. Okay. Now, I want to bring together some scriptures tonight from different places and see if I can paint a picture for you. Let's start with this. Okay. Revelations chapter 22 tells us, and verse 13, Jesus is... Shall I put it out there for somebody? If you can beat me to it. Revelation chapter 22, verse 13 says that when Jesus said, who is He? I hear it. Come. Be bold. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. Very good. Gold star. Okay. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. Okay. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Who's fast? Hebrews 12 and verse 2 says that Jesus is... Anyone? I see. Come on, I can see it. You're right there. Author and the finisher. Very good. Jesus is the author and the finisher. Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of your faith. Okay? So... Now, John 15, what does that tell us about Jesus? When Jesus was speaking to the early church, He said, "Who? What did He say, I am?" Jesus speaking to the early church, He said, I am the vine. Very good. So Jesus Christ is the vine, and we are the branches. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 and verse 9 tells us that we are a what? We are a... 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says that we are a what? Who are we? We are a chosen generation and? A royal priesthood. Okay. So, if we are branches and we are in Christ Jesus, we are... These are my little priests. Congratulations. Everyone in here is a priest. From the time that you came into Christ Jesus, you came into a place where you became part of a royal generation, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation of people. Now, Chandala spoke some about the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which seeks to exalt one man over another. But in Christ Jesus, in the Spirit, there is no man that is above any other man. Every person is in the same level. We have one high priest, we have one head who is Christ Jesus, and every single other one of us is part of the body of Christ in connection to the vine. We are a royal priesthood, right? So let me write this scripture up here. That is 1 Peter 2:5-9. Now, if you understand some of these components and how they start to come together, you won't allow ever again for a man to lord over you or to seek to bring you back into bondage, particularly the bondage of the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant in the Old Testament, the bondage of the law, the curse of the law was ultimately this. You needed a man to get to God. So in the Old Testament, in the Old Scriptures, when we see the layout of the tabernacle and all of those components, ultimately it required that somebody would go in and make intercession for you so that you could get to God, so that you could have access to God. Ultimately, even with the high priest, he had to go in year after year and make a blood sacrifice for the sins of the people and himself, and you needed that person to help you to get to God. So when Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross for our sins, He created through His body and through the blood that made atonement for our sins, direct access to the Father, and you no longer need a person to get to God. So, when we come into Christ, we come into this place of being part of this royal priesthood. Right? Okay. Now, keep these things in mind. Jesus also said in John 14:6, He said, I am what? John 14:6. Jesus said, very good. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So now, Jesus is... We're going somewhere. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, He's the way. Where are we going? Isn't it nice to know where we are going if we're on a journey with Christ? So Jesus says, I'm the way. Okay, Jesus, You're the way. We're all about it. Where are we going, Jesus? Ultimately, where is it that we're heading? We're heading to God. Okay, and specifically with what? We're heading to God, but what is the ultimate end of that direction? Now this is eternal life, that they may know You, the one true living God, and Your Son, Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. To know absolutely. Okay. Revelation 21:1. The first two and the last two chapters of the Bible show something very interesting. Everything started out very well, and everything will end very well. So we just happen to be living in the middle period right now with all that's going on around us. But Revelation 21 says that, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So, this nice, wonderful group of people. Bride. Of who? Of Christ. Okay. So we are this royal priesthood, this royal generation. We are also the bride of Christ. And as the bride of Christ, my dad and I were talking earlier this week, and he was reading me some church writings from some time back, and a very wise man was saying, the purpose of a marriage and of a godly marriage is that the two would become one mind. In a good marriage, in a marriage that's done God's way, the two become one mind. And so that all of a sudden resonated something with even within what it is that God's intention is for His church and His body, and for those of us that would walk out this life with Christ. The direction that we are going in Jesus is to become one in mind and in heart and in direction with Him. That's where God is taking us. That's where the Spirit of God would lead and guide and to direct us. So when the Scriptures tell us to let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, to let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, it's instructing us, what is it telling us to do there too? We have something that we have to do along those lines as well. To let this mind be in you. So there is an element here of free will. God will never override your will. And this is something that we, all of us, must grasp, in that God honors, and the devil honors, free will. They give the room and the space for you to make decisions, to choose where your heart, your allegiance, your choice is there. That's why even with the disciples' prayer, which is referred to as the Lord's Prayer, when He said and He taught them how to pray, Our Father, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Why did He teach them to pray like that? Why did He teach them to pray, Lord, Your kingdom come? Because He taught them to pray to yield their free will to the will of the Father. His teaching to them, if they said, look, Lord, we want to know how to pray. How do we line ourselves up with God? And He said, well, one of the things you have to do is you have to choose to yield your free will to the will of the Father. You have to choose His plan and His purpose over your own. And in doing that, in choosing the will of the Father, what you do is you move from being king of your own life and allowing the King of Kings to be in that position, in that place. He directs, He leads, He guides. Now when that happens, when you allow to let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, you choose that for yourself. So you are choosing ultimately the direction that the Father would choose for your life. You are choosing ultimately to yield to the plan and purpose on the way that the Father would direct you. So now even, so let's bring this back. Say something like, if you are walking this life out in prayer, or you're attempting to walk this life out in connection with the Father, this is the bounds of your habitation. Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. So while we walk this life out in the Spirit, we remain in Christ. You know, sometimes people talk about praying in the name of Jesus, and they use it like a credit card, like an American Express or a Visa card, and so they pull it out and they say, Lord, do this in Jesus' name. And they use His name. But there's a difference. If you are praying in Jesus' name, you are actually praying from a spiritual position, not using His name. Because there's an account in Matthew 7 where many come to Him on that day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and didn't we do that in Your name? And He says, here, let's go to that really quick. Matthew chapter 7, I want to show you something. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 says, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Okay, so back to the equation. Eternal life was what? That they would know God. And verse 23, they got the equation wrong. They said, and he said, then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So, outside of Christ, over here, see, you have the kingdom of God. This over here is the kingdom of God. And then you have the kingdom of the world. And these people that were using His name were still, they were using it in separation from Him. So they were not in Christ. They were using His name for their own purposes out of connection with the head, who is Christ Jesus. And so Jesus never said, you didn't prophesy in my name, or you didn't do these miracles, or that things didn't happen when you prayed. But what he ultimately told them was, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And so it's not what ultimately, do not be fooled by the signs and wonders and miracles that take place. Jesus said in John 10 verse 10, that my sheep know my voice. And they will not follow another. Is something that you see and something that's taking place, is it resonating from the Spirit of God, or is it the works of man, or the works of the enemy? Because we are living in a time, again, of strong delusion. So, outside of Christ, many people use His name to validate themselves. Now, religions of the world are classic with this. Many, many religions of this world try to use some form of spirituality, some form of man creation, and use religion and God as a means to validate their own carnal agendas. So we see that with, as the church ages were taught, are being taught, a great history lesson, for sure, of we see 68 million people being killed during one age just by the church, quote unquote. An organization. An organization using God, completely devoid of the Spirit of God, using God as a means to try to further their own political and personal agendas. You see that even today, this very day in the world, there are nations that use God as a means to say that this is a holy war, or God has told us to do this, or, but is it in connection with the Spirit of God? Is it in Christ? Because there are two kingdoms going on, and it's confusing to people that don't know the voice of God. For them, for sure, they say, well, okay, if this man is a Christian president, for example, and he's doing all these things, then is that God? And of course it's not. So we that know the voice of the Spirit of God, we are also the ones that can walk in connection with the Spirit and also say, this is the way, walk ye in it. If you are on that path and you know who you are in Christ Jesus, ultimately what that will do is that His life, you are that ambassador in the world. You are that light in the world that God puts there. He said that not to cover that light, but to let that light shine before men. Let them see that light, and so glorify your Father in heaven. So, what happens here in Christ Jesus, if you are on this path, if you become part of that priesthood of all believers, is that God now is, if you are walking that out, you are asking for this mind to be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So you are praying for that, even on a daily basis as you are walking this life out. He begins to change your mind as such. He begins to give you His thoughts. He said, even as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are His thoughts above our thoughts, His ways above our ways. But also, He empowers you by the Spirit so that you can have the very thoughts of God, that you can have the very Spirit of God in you, and that as you walk through this world, that your light would shine and that other people would be able to witness that this is the Father working through you, and they glorify God because His light shines through you. But you are on that path. And when you're on that path with Christ, what happens is that the Spirit of God then is leading and directing your life. And He's leading you in a direction that only you can receive from the Father directly. See, someone else cannot live your life for you. Someone else cannot dictate the circumstances and the bounds of your habitation in Christ Jesus. Someone else cannot hear from God for you. So even, for example, with a prophetic word that someone may have for you, they cannot hear from God for you. All they can do is resonate what the Spirit of God would be instructing you anyways. So when somebody would give you a word from that they would say is from God, the Spirit of God inside you would say yes, that bears witness with the Spirit of God that's in you, that's leading and guiding you into all truth. So you're supposed to test the words that come. You're supposed to test the spirits that come. You're not supposed to blindly follow 1 Corinthians 14. You test the prophetic words that would come. Match them up with the Scriptures. So we're on that path, but we are also, if and since we are the bride of Christ, we are coming into a place where we would know God the way that He already knows us. So the mind of Christ is what it is that we are seeking and allowing for the Spirit of God to put in and place in us. Now, out here in the world, what you have is you have the world has a way that seems right unto them, but in the end leads to what? Proverbs chapter 19. Didn't even have to flip. Yes. Proverbs chapter 19, it's either verse 2 or verse 3. It says, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end leads to death. So now this is the kingdom of the world. Kingdom of the world. Okay. What dies? Outside of Christ, outside of the way of life, what dies? It's not just a spiritual death. What dies outside of Christ? Because Jesus said again, I'm the vine, you are the branches, unless you remain in me. If you're outside, you're broken off, you're like a branch that dries up, withered, tossed in the fire and burned. So out here, there's only continuous death. Spiritual death. Your death of your dreams. Death of the purpose and plan that God made you for. See, God made each and every one of you unique. You were created with divine purpose in mind. And unless you would remain in the Father, that purpose cannot be manifest. So what happens out here is people go to the world because they seek provision or because they don't want to come into the light because their deeds are evil. Jesus said, the reason the world hates me is because I testify that what it does is evil. Men love the darkness. They didn't want to come into the light. So they go over here because what happens here is the world covers up for them. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 14, says that Lucifer is the anointed cherub that does what? Lucifer is the anointed cherub that covereth. So what he does is he covers up, and if you come within his system, they take care of each other in there. So they come within the hierarchy of the world and the world system, and you see what happens there is people, they get in there and they lord it over those that are below them, and then those that are above them, they are kissing up to them all the time. But they work their way up that ladder to the place where it is that they have, where they can lord over someone else. And the goal of the world is to climb on the backs of the other people and work their way up in that system. But at the very top is Lucifer, because he's the prince of this world. And so people exchange their souls, exchange the purpose that God would have for them, exchange the life that God would give them for success or provision in the world. God calls people out of the world and he calls them into the light and into the life. He extends his hand to a generation and to a people that are dying and perishing, and he offers them, and he says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble at heart." What does he offer them? See, the world will work you to death. Literally. The world out here will work you to death. It will absorb and soak out all of the life and energy that God has put in you, anything that may be left, and then once it's done with you, it spits you out and another generation comes along and it does it again and again and again. This is the way of the world. And so even with other religions, even with Buddhism, with the wheel, they all recognize this. They want to get off the wheel. They want out of this reality. They want out of this place of death and pain and suffering. But there is only one way out. The only way out is Jesus. The only way out is the path of life. And what is it that Jesus offers? What is it that Jesus extends to His people and offers to them? He says, the way out, the way, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way where? I am the way to oneness with the Father. I am the way to actually to knowing the one that created you, that made you. This is life. That you would know the one true living God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. So now, when you start looking at even when we went through the Holy Communion here, what was the instructions given to the church when they would come together? It said, let a man examine himself. 1 Corinthians 11:28. 1 Corinthians 11:28 says, let me go there. Says, but let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. The bread being the body and the cup being the blood of the Lord. So let a man examine himself. When it tells people to come in honesty before the Father and check if you really are here. Are you really in connection with the Spirit of God? Do you really know Him? Are you on that path of life? Or is what you do an external show for men? Do you live here? And do you just come on a weekend? Do you do your religious service and then go back? And only you know that in your heart of hearts. Only you know whether or not you be in Christ Jesus. Only you know if you are receiving your direction from the Father. Because man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. God looks at the very core of who you are. God sees inside of you your weaknesses and your strengths. He sees inside of you your fears and every apprehension that you might have, He knows. And He also knows whether you know Him or not. And so you can fake it to everyone else. You can pretend to other people. But in the end, it's between you and the Father. So, God calls His church, God calls His people into a place, onto that path of walking life out with Him. And throughout time, throughout the ages, what you have seen is a remnant are called that respond to that. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many people it's extended to, but in the end, very few actually pick up on what it is that the Father is offering to them. Because you have to walk this life out in this world. Scriptures tell us, Jesus told us even in John 16, He said that in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In when the seven churches, every single one of them was given one instruction, common to all. What was that one? To him who endures, to him who overcomes. We are called to be overcomers. The church of God, the true church of God, not the denomination. See, out here again, what is it that we have? We have plus 30,000 denominations, was what was spoken about. What is this 30,000 denominations? The very nature of a denomination is division. The very nature of a denomination is to be divided. And to say there is some difference and some split between us and you. But if we are the bride of Christ, and we are in Christ Jesus, then we come into a place where we are one mind with the Father. So if we are of one mind with the Father, then where's the issue? There is no problem, there is no issue in Christ Jesus. That's why the early churches was the church at Corinth, the church at Antioch, the church in Jerusalem. Those were just the locations. It was the body of Christ at oneness with the Spirit of God in a place. There is no denomination in the true church of God. You are one in Christ Jesus. So out here, what you have is you have the systems of men time and again replicating themselves and seeking to contain the Spirit of God so they can sell it. The Spirit of God will not be sold. Now, God will work through other things because His purposes will ultimately be carried out. So even when we saw in Matthew 7 where many come to Him on that day and say, Lord, Lord, they come to Him on that day and God did do some things in those places. Regardless of them. He did stuff in spite of them. And whoa, what a horrible day to realize that you never knew the Father. And you walked your life out in deception, thinking that what you were doing would get you in. And seeing power there as well. But this is eternal life, that they may know God. So tonight, my encouragement is here, in that you are chosen by God. God has extended Himself to you through Christ Jesus. And He's offered to you life eternal, a knowing and a relationship with the Father. Out of that relationship, what He offers to you is to lead and direct you through life. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. I want to show you something else. Verse 1 says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher from God, for no man can do these miracles that Thou dost except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto Him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh, and whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. So, unless a man is born again. So what happens when we come into Christ, that way is made through the Spirit of God to come into Jesus. And now when you are in Jesus, what happens is He puts you on that adventure where the Spirit of God leads and directs your life directly. He shows you and says, here's where I would have you to go. And the world may look and observe your life and they cannot tell where you're going or what you're doing. You can't be predicted because you are not over here working your way up the hierarchy of the world to try to get as high up in the system and eat and devour those below you and to climb up on the backs of those ahead of you. You are over in the Spirit. And the Spirit of God, what He promises you is He said, I will lead and direct you. I will take care of you. Don't worry about what you will eat or drink. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and whatever you need will be taken care of. He will always provide the need when it's needed. He will watch over you. But it's a place of trust. Faith, another word for faith you can substitute in is trust. It's the same word. You trust God. You have faith in God. You have trust in God. You know that He is faithful, that He will do and perform what it is that He said. So, when we come into the Father, we come into that place where we will walk this life out in direction and in purpose, led by the Spirit. And the way is Christ. As you are walking on that way, He is directing your path. Not another man. So it can be a little bit scary sometimes. But perfect love drives out all fear. So when you are apprehensive, when you are struggling with something, the Word tells us that we should be anxious about nothing, but in all things, with prayer and supplication, make our requests known to God. So if you are walking out this path with Jesus this day, and you struggle with something, you have an issue that's facing you, because the world hates you, because you are not of the world, even as the very first chapter is that we read, that the world hates you because you belong to the Father. So if you have that issue, if you have something that's coming against you, pray. Bring it before the Father. He that knows you, that knows how to create you, knows how to protect you and to sustain you and to watch over you. So you need not carry anything. You don't need to carry the burdens of this world. Jesus offered to take those. So you leave those at His feet and you walk life out with Him. You can live your entire life here in this world in connection with the Father. You can live your entire life in this world in a place where you are linked up to the One that made you. God is God. Okay, which of these is God? Is He I was, I will be, or I am? He is I am. So Jesus is I am. Ever present. Right now. So God is in this moment right now. You won't find Him before, you won't find Him after. He is here with you right now. He is eternity right now. See, people are looking for God to be something to them in the future. They miss where He is right now. If this is eternal life, that they may know You, the one true living God, and He is I am, then He is eternal life begins now. See, people are waiting for something to happen. How many generations have come and gone thinking about a rapture taking place? Many, many people have come and gone expecting certain things to happen in their generation. My dad and I were talking recently about during Hitler's time. How many people thought, okay, here is the Antichrist and all the things that are happening, or go back before that. Go back to the fall of Jerusalem, 70 AD. I mean, my goodness, we're waiting for the clouds to split. So always in time and in history, people have thought, okay, here this means this and this means this over here. Does it matter? If you are in connection with the Father, if you are walking out your life in the Spirit with Him this day, then whatever may take place around you is up to the Father, because He has you where He would have you to be. If you were on the beach on December 26th in Sri Lanka 2004, that was your Armageddon. That was your rapture. If you were in a place but God still has you here. So, your life here is but a vapor. Back to John 17. Jesus, when He was praying, He said that verse 4, He said, I have glorified Thee on earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. Now, all of us here, God has work for you here. When you come into Christ, that is eternal life. You've stepped into that place of life. But now, He has something for you while you're here. He has assignments. He has purpose and plan in you being here. When Jesus was praying for His early disciples, He said, I don't pray that You take them out of the world, but that You protect them from the evil. And He said, as You sent Me into the world, so I am sending them too. So God sends you into the world, and you have work to do while you are here. And it's not the work that the world does. Where the world and the world system, all it does is rebuilds stronger to harvest the souls of men. and to create the mechanisms where it can keep people from ever coming to a oneness with the Father. What God does is He has a plan for you and a purpose for you and something that He has to walk out for you individually. And the only one that can reveal that to you is the Father. So you make the decision to follow Him that way. And you ask Him for that. You say, Father, lead my life. Direct my life. Whatever you have, so let it be. Because Jesus, when He came to the close, He said, all right, I have completed the work. And at the cross, while He was on the cross, He said, it is finished. Many, many things were finished at that point. And death, hell, sin was dealt with there. But the work and the plan that He had for Christ and His time in the world was done. And the same with us, is that God would have for us, if you are walking in the Spirit, and you're walking in connection with the Spirit of God, what He does is that plan and purpose that He has for your life will be complete and finished if you walk it out in connection with the very mind of God. So we have to get linked up with the Father and remain here. So that is the call for the church. That is the call for those that would walk out this life here. And it's good for us to continue to learn. It's good for us to continue to grow in the knowledge that He allows for us to have. But with this track that we're on with the Father, it's each person walks it out with Him. We encourage each other on the way, but every one of us must know Him for ourselves. Because at the end of this life, your denomination or your pastor will not give an account to God for you. Either you know Him for yourself or you don't. So, I think we'll close it here. And I just want to invite Brother Ravi to come. And but even when Jesus prayed, and He said, I pray for them, or I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me. We pray for the kingdom. We pray for God's kingdom to come. We pray for God's will to be done. And so, with everything that's going on around you, ask for God's purposes. You know, we ask, if you're praying for somebody, ask for the Spirit of God to invade their life. For the Spirit of God to flood and invade their life. In doing something like that, you are praying. So you are praying that God would intervene in the affairs here. See, from the very beginning of time, God covenanted with man to accomplish His purposes in the earth. And He does that this day. He covenants with His people in the world to accomplish His purposes here. So you are the ambassadors for Him. God is mindful of all that's going on in this nation. So even when we would pray for all that's taking place, we would pray that God's kingdom would come, that God's will would be done. If we pray for leaders, let's pray that the Spirit of God would invade their lives. That He would remind them that they're but men. There's many different ways we can pray. That He would remind them they're but men, and that they too must give an account of their lives to a holy God, to a Creator, that judges every word that's spoken in darkness and brings it to light. Let's pray for justice in this nation. Let's pray that God would bring people to account quickly. That He would be merciful to those that suffer. There's so many ways that we can pray. But ultimately, we are praying for God's will to be done and His kingdom to come. So, the Spirit and the Bride cry out, Come, Lord Jesus. Perpetrators still faking, push them back, push them back. Still saying we ain't saving, push them back, push them back. Got a problem with how we praise them, push them back, push them back. If you see them prayer hating, push them back, push them back. Perpetrators still faking, push them back, push them back. Still saying we ain't saving, push them back, push them back. Got a problem with how we praise them, push them back, push them back. Man, this is kind of stuff I
I'm on. If I went in the praying G and I be dead and gone, I praise him on all day to the break of dawn. Crazy thinking that the days along with you wrong. Man, this what I do. Man, I hit a demon, stick a demon, catch a beetle swinging like whoa. Let her know we said it's on, I pass it on. Dispatch G get jumped on. It's a drill in the kid in the neighborhood, a feeling to come in and build on a rearrange a couple broken hearts. After that, it'd be a one in a million, a one in a billion, a feeling greatest feeling that you ever thought you couldn't have, but I bet you will now. Set this up and above and keep the crowd wild. Can't believe the speed of my mouth. If you really got a problem with demons, don't
say what you know about that Holy Ghost. Pour it up, it's time to roast. Got that Holy Bible, got the munchies, pass that cheese toast. Now feel this cup like no tomorrow. Hit it once, then hit it harder. In the end, out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water. Twist it like bros, gon' keep it crunk. What you thought we were talking about? Get drunk. Find up a blunt like put it up numb. We just want the word, now give a play a song. Don't hold back, give it all to me. Be a prayer, headed too late, I took it. I'ma get mine, tell them I ain't no rookie. Got another gig, got the club, then book it. Say who run it, Jesus Christ run it. Best to run a pot, drop a big face, honey. Give me that mic like a stain, I'ma stun it. We love getting full of the word, no frontin'. Constantly keeping it hype, we flow on this mic and we showin' these demons what's up. I'm slipping the trippin', but still I be flipping that script. This soon as I'm safe,
I'm with 34, 26, but you know you can't get with this. What you know about this current chick? Up in the club and it get dismissed. Hey, man, no hater, no perpetrators, no imitators. Players trying to lay up and then you see me later. Made a lie straight from the pits of hell. Can't tell, I've been free from that satanic jail. So push them, get them out my way and let me do my thing. For real, can't let my time in here just go in vain.